Your clerk has just taken possession of a bundle of box letters, Mr. Gloss. May we assume the relevant adverts were placed by you or on your behalf?
Oh, no, Inspector.
No?
No, I merely chanced to find the counterfoil while I was sorting through some of the late Mr. Gwill's papers today. In a professional capacity, you understand.
You've no idea what the letters are about, I suppose.
No idea at all. Here they are, in this drawer. They appear to be concerned with antiques. Sizable sums of money are involved. Perhaps you have an explanation.
One or two conjectures, perhaps. My apologies for disturbing you so late, Mr. Gloss.
Not at all. I was on the point of locking up. And I shall now have the pleasure of walking with you as far as the country club. Poor Marcus. He's turning out to be quite a mystery, isn't he?
No more than the next man, Mr. Gloss.
He went in this one, Sarge. The one with the brass plate.
R.M. Hilliard, M.D. Right, in we go.
Fine old houses, these.
Yeah, have a look who's in the waiting room.
A bad leg, a pregnant lady and one acne sufferer, but no leg bitter.
Stay here and look ill. I'm going to explore upstairs.
Without a warrant?
You don't need a warrant to look at pewter antique tankards.
Oh. Evening?
Excuse me.
Oh, not that way, love. That's the ladies' cubicles. Next entrance on the left. Doesn't mess up the system, eh?
Hey.
Mess up the system.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, what cubicle number are you?
I'm not sure.
Well, look there on the notice board. Cheer up, Squire. Bit of treatment will do you a power of good.
Excuse me, miss.
My mistake. Wrong cubicle. Blimey. The perfect end to an awful day. Half Flexborough seems to have influenza.
Rupert, I'm trying to talk to
yes,
you.
I heard you. A man Pirbright is breathing down our necks. All right, we'll suspend the schedules for a couple of weeks if it makes you feel any better. But tomorrow's trip goes ahead as planned.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Well, let's drink to that. Same again, please, John.
Sure. What time are you leaving?
Nab's bringing the van round at 6.
This really must be the last. My wife is waiting. Will you walk home with me?
Oh, a scared Sassenach is a wonder to behold.
What was that girl wearing again? Or rather, what wasn't she wearing, eh, Sad?
Okay, joke's over.
She wasn't any antique at any rate.
Not a pewter tankard, Japanese newel, or mahogany and beach sideboard in sight. Some sort of clinic. Private, yeah. Can't be National Health. No waiting, regular appointment times pinned up.
Well, that's that. I wonder what happened to Leadbitter.
Funny his treatment should coincide with his antique appointment.
Mix the dates up, probably. What his trouble is. Looks healthy enough. So did Mabs, come to that.
Mabs?
Oh, she was the woman you saw on the stairs. She looks in her face when she passed me in the hall. Poor old Mabs. Well, you used to meet her when I was on the beat down the Harbour District. Broad Street, you know.
Oh, I know, yeah. Entertaining the Merchant Navy. Roaring trade during the war.
More knocking shops and telegraph poles down there at one time. Till Holy Harry Carrableet became chairman of the Watch Committee.
Yeah.
Poor old Mabs.
That her surname?
Oh, no. Short for Margaret Abigail Beryl Shooter. Mabs, see? Everybody called her that. Comes of having your name read out in court too often.
Yes.
Sergeant, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I am.
I don't believe it. Good old Sid.
Bright pinky was, sir.
Yeah, all right. And was your cubicle lady a superior antique lampstand or a Japanese antique mule?
Well, she wasn't a mahogany and beach sideboard, anyway. Bloody hell, I could kick myself. You'd be staring me in the face on that notice board. 715 EL, Ernie Leadbitter, yeah. PAT spells Pat.
Alias our friend Pewter Antique Tankard.
What I don't understand is, why does it have to be so complicated?
Yes. Those arrangements could easily have been made over the phone or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been so exciting, Harper. It's often the trimmings, you know, the peephole and password, that sort of thing. There's half the attraction for middle-aged men who dabble in vice. Hilliard Grill and Company knew their best customers would be the respectable married tradesmen and farmers, providing they reassured them with stringent or even melodramatic safeguards. Mm. You don't risk losing your reputation in a small community like this.
Is that why Gwil was murdered, you reckon?
A bad mistake if it was, because a whole series of reputations are at risk now, including Flaxburgh. Harper, would you feel like logging another hour's overtime?
Mrs. Mabel Abigail Beryl Shooter, sir.
Exactly. She's probably relaxing after the evening shift. Be nice to be in a position to prefer charges tomorrow, and I'm very interested to know when and how the racket was started.
Sir?
Take the Hillman.
Right, sir.
Murder charges, is this, sir?
No, one thing at a time, sir. Keeping a disorderly house.
Very orderly, as a matter of fact.
Yes, those cubicle things, were they an original part of the house?
I don't think so. They look like conversions. Not brand new, but recent.
Yeah. I expect that's Nab Bradlaugh's building firm on the QT.
Probably. Nab's no better than he should be. But a doctor, that's what sticks in my throat. Above his own surgery, too.
Your feelings do you credit, Sid. But I rather think breaking the Hippocratic Oath was only a beginning.
Well, here we are, Roddy. Home sweet home.
I'm obliged to you for escorting me. Much obliged.
Well, we can't have you frightened, Mr. Gloss.
No. It's a hard frost tonight.
Aye. 5-1, we'll have snow for Christmas.
Look out, Roddy! I stand! You bastard! Drop it!
Roddy? Roddy?
You'll be better staying with friends, Mrs. Gloucester. The constable will take you.
Everything all right, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Yes, she's all right, I think.
Good. Now, Doctor, you say you saw nothing of this assailant.
No.
Well, how big was he? Which way did he go?
I tell you, I didn't see him. It was over in seconds. Roddy was dead by the time Mrs. Gloss and I got him into the house.
What's the matter, Doctor?
I had something of a shock. Or haven't you noticed?
How do you account for the blood on your sleeve, sir?
See if you can turn over a man with a heart wound and stay clean.
It would be no use asking if you'd seen this before. Show him the knife, Sergeant.
No, of course I haven't.
Mm. Now, would you care to tell us the object of your meeting with Mr. Gloss at the country club?
Liquor, relaxation, conversation. In that order. We achieved all three in moderation.
Yes, I expect you had a busy surgery this evening, Doctor.
Well, my surgery is always busy. Disease is like crime. There is a constant concentration of it in society everywhere.
Both will respond to treatment, though.
Aye. To a strictly limited degree.
Unfortunate, but true. You were doctor in attendance on the late Mr. Carabeat, were you not?
I was. Is this germane to your present inquiries, Inspector?
Perhaps, I'm not sure. You signed his death certificate in respect of pneumonia and heart failure, that is so, Doctor?
To the best of my recollection.
And you have no reason, looking back now, to doubt the accuracy of your findings?
None whatever. Now, are there any more questions? I'd quite like to get home.
Yes, of course, sir. But first, may I ask you, do you think Mr. Gloss had any enemies, sir?
He was a solicitor. The profession does not attract drafts of the milk of human kindness.
Do you know of anyone specifically who wished him harm?
I can think of no one in particular.
Well, good night, Dr. Hilliard, and thank you. You'll find transport waiting outside to take you home.
Hmm. You've got a job to do, I suppose. Good night, Inspector.
Oh, what a night, Sid. A brothel and a fatal stabbing all in 2 hours. The chief constable will never speak to me again.
Yes, well, you got someone to charge for both of them, at any rate. No one's going to tell me he wouldn't know what the assailant looked like if it really was an assailant. There's street lamps all along the road. Bloke's a villain, stands out a mile.
You're probably right. But that doesn't mean he murdered Gloss.
His sleeve was wet with blood. I bet you anything you like, he did Gloss and Gwil.
Yeah, well, in that case, we might not be very far wrong in wondering if he had a hand in another little matter earlier on.
Harold Carrowblade? Huh, I wondered what you were getting at just now. Stroll on, I'll never trust another doctor again. But wait a minute, though. If he's responsible for that, the Merry Widow could be involved, too.
Flaxborough 241? Yes, all right, I'll accept the charge. Darling? What are you doing so close to Flaxborough? Well, I don't understand. I thought we'd agreed that... What? But why shouldn't it be safe for me here? Darling, what's happened? I trust you. Yes, of course I trust you. Yes, all right. Maybe we could meet somewhere by accident. Like strangers, I mean. No, not now. It would look terribly suspicious. Tomorrow. Yes, let's sleep on it. Phone me tomorrow. Yes. I love you, too. Oh, God.
All right, get in.
What kept you, Bradlaugh?
It's only 5 minutes past six. Maybe it didn't come at all after you rang last night.
Got no choice now, you fool. Will you take a swig?
No, enough for me.
Got all your gear?
Yes. Got yours?
Yes. Let's get to work.
My God, Purbright, I'm glad my retirement's coming up. To think that my wife was on the watch committee with Carrowbleat when he was supposed to be clearing up those, you know, those places. And the time.
No doubt about it, I suppose.
Mrs. Mabel Shooter's made a very full and convincing statement, sir, which a number of her colleagues will support. The watch committee was a cover. Councillor Carrowbleat merely tidied up Flaxborough's vice-trade for his own profit and convenience.
Damnable, damnable. And I'm not sure this scoundrel Hilliard isn't worse.
Shouldn't they have arrested him by now?
He'll be here any minute, sir.
Mrs. Popplewell, the magistrate, she's getting rather restless in there.
Yes, I'm sorry to ask for a special court at this early hour, but I'm due in Shropshire at one. Here we are. Well, where's Hilliard?
He wasn't at home, sir.
What? What?
Yeah, you won't be far away, Mr. Chubb.
He went out before his cleaning woman arrived.
Well, didn't you search at all?
I went round to Bradlaugh's place, sir. He's gone off somewhere, too.
His housekeeper, or whatever she is, she told us Nab went out early in the van. Didn't say where or why.
God, that's worrying. I should just think it is. I've got Mrs. Popplewell waiting in there, specially.
I hope Hilliard hasn't come to any harm.
Harm? Damn it, what am I going to tell Mrs. Popplewell?
I don't get you, sir.
Well, thinking about it last night, that blood on his sleeve came from a wound in his own arm. The knife was meant for him as well.
He might have gashed himself to give that impression, sir.
Well, in which case, he would have made no secret about it.
Well, that means Bradlaugh must be our man.
On the face of it, yes.
But damn it, you say he's missing too. What shall I say to Mrs. Popplewell? She'll think Flaxborough is falling apart.
No, Bradlaugh's not a footpath assassin. Whoever it was must have been exceptionally confident and tough.
Doesn't sound like old Nab. And it kind of rules out Mrs. Carrowbleat.
Yeah, which reminds me, I have a train to catch. Excuse me, sir. My apologies, Mrs. Popplewell.
I'll be back late tonight or early tomorrow, Sergeant. Put out a call for Hilliard and Nab. And Nab's van.
One moment, Inspector Purbright.
Sir?
I'm sure you know what you're doing. But with two related murders, and now possibly three, or even four, you see how I'm placed. I must ask you, arrest your murderer... or murderers within the next 36 hours, or I shall ask Scotland Yard to give me assistance.
Oh, how anyone could live in a bloody wilderness like this.
Had its advantages. That cottage, that's it. Oh, very nicely set up, very nicely. Here, the last wee drop is for you.
How can you be sure that's the place?
Because we found the call box and eliminated all the other possibilities. The garage door's open. Looks like there's no one in. Pull over into those trees up there and keep an eye on the road. Sound your horn if anyone comes.
You can't just walk straight up to it. It might not be safe.
I'll take care.
But if no one's in, what's the point?
I've come prepared for all eventualities. The time has passed for pretense. I'll take a chance and snoop around.
Inspector Purbright.
That me?
Ah, Inspector Gibbons, Shropshire County Police.
Ah, very grateful for your help, Inspector.
We've got a car to take you straight up to the Brink of Discovery Hotel, and good news, we've located your electrical shop in Ludlow.
Marvellous. Do they remember selling any flex?
Yes, last Saturday. A long length of heavy-duty lead is an unusual sale, apparently. But I'm afraid the customer was a complete stranger.
Description?
Vague. Big fellow with a beard. Any use?
Maybe. What's this Brink of Discovery place like?
Oh, not for the locals. Owner's ex-showbiz from North. Wife's a former beauty queen.
Does either of them have a beard?
A pair of smoothies in every sense.
Well, it's what we call a gimmick in show business, like echo chambers and crimpy hair and walloping great fat chests and that. Well, the first thing you know is change the name. The Bull, this used to be. I'll give him Bull, I thought. You want something classy and half-slash-like that'll go down with the intelligentsia out with one another's missuses, a cut above the Mr. and Mrs. Smith lark. I mean, something that...
Well, talking of that lark, we're interested in a roundabout way in a lady called Mrs. Joan Carrablich. She stayed here last Monday night, I believe.
Oh, yes, Mr. C. She comes to us quite often.
She was actually here last Monday night.
Sat here in the bar to Gonwoon? Why, what's she doing here? She's not been...
No. How often did she stay?
Oh, once or twice a month, since last summer.
And always on her own? Well?
Well, put it this way. I mean, she was on her own when she was actually here, but she generally push off early in the evening and turn up again for breakfast. We were just a blind, I reckon. Still, no skin off my
and
nose, you
where
know.
Did she go?
Oh, I never found out exactly. Used to take a taxi to, what's it called? Something to do with woods. Woodside. Avery Woodside.
Ah, I know the sub-postmistress there. Anything like a bit of scandal, she'll know about it. She's a real vocation.
To the woods, then. To the woods.
Almost back in civilization. Be home in time for a late dram at the club with luck. Oh, come on, man. We're in the clear now, once and for all.
The boys in blue will be busying around for weeks to come, you see.
So we keep our heads down. Have you squared everything for tomorrow?
Yes. And this is the last time. Third time unlucky with Inspector Bloody Purbright in the office.
Car still in the garage. Should be someone around.
Do you want to see this John Barnaby character on your own?
No, you come on in. I'm not at all sure what I'm going to say to him anyway. Are you the John Barnaby who's been receiving regular visits from Mrs. Joan Carrablich of Flaxburgh? I mean,
amongst others. Quite a fella. And I've never known local gossip to be wrong about that sort of thing. Hello. Door's open.
Anyone at home? Hello there. May we come in? See if there's any sign of bearded Barnaby around the garage or garden. I'll just take a little peep inside. Hello? Anyone at home? Hello? Any sign of life outside?
No.
Place seems empty. Now, this side window here has been forced recently.
There's a great tangle of heavy-duty flex in the garage. Yards and yards of it.
Yeah, we're getting warmer. I suggest, having reason to suspect and all that, we now take a closer look at things. Starting with the bedroom.
Right.
Looks like he had a bath or shower in a hurry. Everything chucked on the bed.
What's that on the floor?
Oh, it's a glass top or something. Go through these clothes, will you? I'll try the kitchen. You find anything?
Nothing much in the clothes. Well, plenty of money and odds and ends. No papers or letters.
No driving license or name tags.
No.
Well, he had his cornflakes and coffee this morning, by the looks of it. Rinsed the dishes, all tidy. What made him strip down to his birthday suit so suddenly? Hello.
What you got there?
It's another of those little glass things.
Oh, it's a stopper from a little glass container. You know, like those medical things. Files.
Oh, yes. I'm beginning to wish we had a sample of that breakfast.
Yes. Wait a minute. This spoon will do.
What for?
See if I can unscrew this waste pipe.
Oh, yeah.
See if you can find something I can hold underneath it.
Right. Here's a jar.
Right. That's it. Now then. Coming. Oh! Now then, what do you reckon that funny white gunge is?
Something of which I fear Mr. John Barnaby has caught his death.
Hmm.
Questions, re-Shropshire. Who is John Barnaby? Was he part of the Caddebeat Empire at Flaxborough? Did he and Mrs. Caddebeat conspire to murder both Gwyll and Gloss? And her husband too, perhaps. Has she now poisoned her lover? Answer, bring in Mrs. Caddebeat for questioning. Questions, re-Flaxborough. If Gloss, Hilliard and Bradlaugh are working together, why is Bradlaugh the only one to need an alibi for the night of Will's death? What's so special about Nab, the undertaker? Answer, he's an undertaker with a van. He does the donkey work, from fixing up cubicles to boxing up coffins. He undertakes.
Good morning.
Morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
Mr. Bradlaugh about?
No, he's down at the crematorium.
I tried to get in touch with him several times yesterday.
Oh, don't I know it. He was out all day in a van. Here, Mr. Purbright, is it true Doc Hilliard has been arrested?
You'll read all about it in the Flaxborough Citizen, Ben. Who told you?
The missus was at the surgery this morning.
Look, Struth. Will Nab be back soon?
Oh, I reckon so. He won't be in a mood for visitors, though. It's a family do.
Family?
Oh, sort of. His housekeeper's uncle died very unexpected.
Local man, anyone we know?
I never met him. Not while he was alive, anyway. Big, healthy-looking bloke with a beard. Makes you wonder. Name of Barnaby.
Barnaby? Come on, Sergeant.
Here, what's up?
Here, what's up?
We give thee hearty thanks for that it hath pleased thee to deliver this our brother, John, out of the miseries of this sinful world, beseeching thee that it may please thee.
Stop! Stop! I am a police officer! Stop!
Really, officer, this is disgraceful.
Excuse me, sir, excuse me.
The district coroner has authorized the post-mortem. You must stop everything.
Eh? I didn't know the coroner.
Shut up, Sid.
Go on, Nab. Take a good look. It's your trade. Who is he?
Ben? He's John Barnaby. John Caddebeat took up with him after her old man died. The bastard was...
Just a moment. Caution him, Sergeant.
What, here in the morgue, am I?
You're not obliged to say anything in reply to questions, but what you do say may be taken down and given in evidence.
Right, you were saying... The bastard. Or would you prefer to wait for your solicitor?
Roddy Gloss has been here already. Or had you forgotten? Listen. Joan Caddebeat was her husband's secretary. She was in on our little sideline. The stupid bitch only goes and tells that bastard Barnaby everything. Names the lot. He was blackmailing the four of us, bleeding the whole thing white. We were off our rockers with the worry of it.
Well, yes, you would be.
That must have been why poor old Gwyll did away with himself. He was driven to it.
Oh, and was Gloss driven to it as well?
No. Roddy was killed by that devil Barnaby in cold blood.
Blackmailers don't usually kill their victims.
Well, that's the sort he was, I tell you.
Go on.
Look, as Hilliard... The doctor's a sick man, you know. I couldn't do nothing with him once he got started. Listen, I didn't realise what I was letting myself in for. after Barnaby had been back at the cottage for a while. Hilliard forced his way in again. I went with him. Barnaby was lying fast asleep half under the kitchen table. God knows what the doc had spiked his grub with. Well, we got him into the bedroom somehow. It was a hell of a wait. Look, I thought we'd gone down there to frighten Barnaby off, that's all. Then before I knew what was happening, Hilliard sticks a needle into him. What could I do? That was it. Finished.
Who signed the certificate?
Hilliard, of course.
Referees?
Scott, I think, and that other chap in Duke Street.
The usual dotted line stuff.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that.
Sergeant Love, would you see if they're ready for us outside?
Sure.
Tell me now, why was it necessary for John Barnaby's body to be stripped before you brought him back in the van?
Who said he was?
I say, and I'll tell you why. Because he travelled back in style. In a coffin you'd taken with you for that specific purpose. You knew damn well he was going to be murdered, Nab, didn't you?
No.
A little party, Inspector.
What's this in aid of?
I took the liberty of bringing Mrs. Carrapleet here in the hope she'd be able to help us in a formal matter of identification. A trifle closer, if you please, madam. These things are always a little disturbing, but I promise you there's nothing to frighten or revolt you. Just a little nearer.
Oh, my God. Harold. Oh, my God.
No, madam. Oh, God, she's fainted. Don't just stand there, Sid. She's heavy.
Years on the force, and this is my first exhumation. The Flaxborough citizens are going to have a field day next week.
Well, hardly a real exhumation, sir.
No. The late Harold Carrapleet was later than we thought, eh?
Oh, a very astute gentleman. He organized his own timely death with a little assistance from Hilliard and Bradlaugh, and then went down to Shropshire and simply grew a beard. He must have fancied his position to be extremely strong. He'd avoided a likely spell of imprisonment. He had a firm hold, or so he thought, on his associates, none of whom would be likely to risk exposure. And his dear wife collected the insurance, the continuing proceeds from his posthumous racket, and spent long weekends with him into the bargain.
Coffin just about cleared for lifting, sir.
And then the associates became greedy. Gloss forged that will in Gwill's favour, and they cleaned up Barnaby, or to give him his real name, Carrapleet. And neither he nor his wife were in a position to do a thing about it, of course.
Damnably unethical business, you know. Abominable.
Quite. Now, our conspirators underestimated Carrapleet hopelessly. I mean, he had the nerve to come back to Flaxborough and harass them in person. Which accounts for poor old Mrs. Poole's obsessions. She even saw him that Monday fixing up the cable, and someone else saw him sluicing the front drive with water.
I'm interested to know how Gwill was lured out there.
Oh, they were all lured out, sir. Carrapleet arranged a meeting at Gwill's to discuss a settlement. Then phoned to say he'd hurt his leg and would be obliged if they'd come round to him. Well, Gwill was just unlucky enough to reach the gate first. And the others were lucky because the discharge blew the fuses at Carrapleet's house.
Upon my soul.
Two lads with screwdrivers on this side.
I suppose his friends, if I may call them that, I suppose they placed Gwill's body under that pylon.
Oh, yes, with the help of Bradlaugh's van. Would have looked bad for them otherwise. And while they were up in the field, Carrapleet, alias Barnaby, shot away back to Shropshire in his car. His wife knew nothing about it, but he'd provided her with a precautionary alibi, just in case. Not as perfect as his own, of course. He was officially dead. Yeah. Now, let's inspect the grisly remains.
Filled with sandbags, sir. Huh. And these.
What? The ledgers of Carrapleet and Spade, ship's brokers.
Heavens above. Turned out a good solid coffin, old nub. I'll give him that. 6 feet under for 6 months, and it still looks scarcely used.
In Coffin Scarcely Used by Colin Watson, the cast was Detective Inspector Pirbright, Peter Jeffrey, Chief Constable Chubb, William Fox, Detective Sergeant Love, Sean Barrett, Detective Constable Harper, Michael Jenner. P.C. Wilkinson and Haas, Mark Straker. Rodney Gloss, Danny Schiller. Dr. Hilliard, Crawford Logan. Jonas Bradlaugh, Mark Jones. Mrs. Carrobleet, Monica Gray. George Lintz, David Peart. Detective Inspector Gibbons and Vicar, John Strickland. Mrs. Poole, Hilda Schroeder. Mr. Smith, James Carey. Ban and hotel owner, Carrie Francis. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.